Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Leanne on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. You know, we always talk about the three D's of tax planning: deduct, divide, and defer. Mm-hmm. And the disability tax credit is often one that people probably are unfamiliar with and may not be, you know, aware of how to take advantage of it, but it certainly falls within that. If there's a disability that you've got, mm-hmm. you should be taking advantage of all of the different tax credits available to you. And so to try to remove some of the confusion, mm-hmm. Leanna, around what it is and who should apply and how to apply, I think we've got a terrific guest to help us today. Mm-hmm. Dr. Wayne McLeod is a family physician, also the author of How to Successfully Apply for the Disability Tax Credit. Dr. McLeod, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much for having me.
Well, where do we start with this one, right?
I think the first question is, what is the disability tax credit and who's eligible for it?
So the disability tax credit is a federal tax credit. It's a federal grant, so a break on taxes owed for persons with a disability or for family members looking after a person with a disability. It originated in the days when Mr. O'Flaherty was our Minister of Finance, and it helps reflect the added costs that a person with either a physical or a mental disability incurs as a result of living with their illness. So it's a credit that covers both physical and mental disabilities. So people that are experiencing difficulties with their activities of daily living, based on some either physical or psychological challenges. So the credit covers things like hearing loss, vision loss, illnesses or conditions that affect a person's ability to get dressed on their own or to walk on their own. As well, there are conditions covered where if a person has difficulties with feeding themselves or preparing meals or with their bowel and bladder functions. There's also an area in the credit that covers illnesses that require a time component to manage. So for instance, a person who has insulin-dependent diabetes, where there's a number of steps for managing their illness that take a number of hours in the run of a day. So these types of illnesses can be covered by this credit. It's an application that requires some assistance with a medical practitioner or someone familiar with the person with the disability to complete the credit. It needs to be filled out by a licensed practitioner, and then it's just sent to CRA for getting approval.
Dr. McLeod, I assume that there's some thresholds in these various areas that need to be met, and I suspect that's part of the reason why a family physician like yourself would need to be part of this process. But in your experience, how many people are not taking advantage of this that could be taking advantage of it?
The numbers vary. When you look at the number of persons who probably qualify, the credit is actually really underused. It's a terrific credit. I should mention, in addition to the tax break, there are also other benefits that come from being approved for this credit. So, for instance, if a child with a disability or a young person with a disability is able to open up a registered disability savings plan, and so which is another very good vehicle for a person to assist with the financial aspects of a disability. The current stats sort of suggest that one in four and one in five Canadians identify as living with a disability. But the number of persons that are accessing this credit is far below that. I guess almost 15-20% of eligible persons are applying for this, and I think that comes from a number of factors. I don't think the credit is very well known. It's not very well advertised, and because it does require the cooperation of a licensed practitioner to do the application, some folks who are aware of the credit wind up running into some barriers because practitioners may not be aware of what qualifies and what doesn't.
So I think you're right in that a lot of people are intimidated a little bit about the process of applying for this credit, even if they do know about it. So can you tell us a little bit about the steps that go into the application for this credit? What do you need to do? Who do you need to talk to? That kind of thing.
So the credit can be the application form can be completed by a licensed a licensed practitioner who has areas of expertise in the area of disability. So for instance, for a visual impairment, an eye doctor or an ophthalmologist or a family doctor can fill out the requirements. For a hearing impairment, family doctor can do it or an audiologist can do it. So you do need to liaise with a practitioner familiar with the type of deficit that's being described. The application form is the T2201. It's a simple form that you can download off of the Revenue Canada website. It's a 5 or 6 page form. The process for the applicant, once they've decided that they do qualify or that they want to do an application, is to just simply take the application to the person that they're going to have fill it out. And those criteria are there in the application form. So for instance, for the visual impairment, there's a certain level of visual acuity that the person should meet. Now the person's eye doctor or their family doctor should be familiar with that and able to sort of certify that information. The only real intimidating part in my view or in my experience is getting cooperation sometimes, because unfortunately none of us family doctors like to do paperwork anyway, and to get a application done, sometimes practitioners are kind of pigeonholed into what qualifies and what doesn't, and unfortunately, I think a lot of people are missing out on that basis, and that's sort of why I wrote that little ebook, to just to sort of broaden the horizons of people who might be thinking about doing an application.
And I go back to my question about thresholds, Dr. McLeod. So when you fill this out, are there certain standard thresholds for visual acuity or a mental illness of some sort that are CRA approved, or is it a bit of a moving target?
Well, that's a great question. The physical impairments tend to be a whole lot more cut and dried, so we speak. So a person is defined as having an impairment in one of these areas if they're unable to do that particular thing themselves, or if it takes them three times longer than a person who is not impaired. So for instance, in every area of qualification, so let's say the walking impairment. If a person is wheelchair confined, that's pretty black and white. If a person is unable to walk without assistance, definitely qualify. The moving target aspect kind of comes into play when you also qualify if it takes you three times as long as someone who's unimpaired to walk a given distance. So that sometimes leaves open to interpretation, but in my view, it's usually pretty obvious. If a person is coming to see their doctor and they're limping quite badly, or they're using crutches or using a walker, those types of things, you can make a case for those things by elaborating on the type of impairment. So the type of impairment has to be such that it causes the person three times as long to perform an activity compared to someone who is not impaired. And it has to have a sufficient sort of duration. So it's not for temporary impairments. It's for impairments that have lasted for a year or longer, or are expected to last a year or longer. The mental functions are a little bit less cut and dry, because again, there's a certain amount of interpretation over what constitutes severe depression or severe anxiety. But they have gone through some iterations of the application to make these things a little bit more clear.
Dr. McLeod, if somebody is hoping to apply for the disability tax credit and want to get a hold of your ebook, how do they do that?
So it's on Amazon, and it's called How to Successfully Apply for the Disability Tax Credit. It's there. When I did this, this was kind of a weekend project where I really didn't know what I was getting into at the time. So unfortunately, there is a little charge for it, because I didn't know that you were allowed to put things on there for free until after the fact. That I'm also available by email if a person wants to just consult with me and ask questions. I'm very happy to go over a case with a person. Love to meet or connect with people, particularly financial planners who are doing this kind of work for their clients. And my email address is widely available.
Well, that's great. Listen, we've quickly run out of time here on a topic that can be both frightening and difficult to navigate. And I want to thank you very much for taking some time with us and I think shedding some light on what it is and who can apply and how to apply for that. So, Dr. McLeod, thanks for taking some time with us today.
No, my pleasure. Thank you very much.
We've been joined by Dr. Wayne McLeod, who's a family physician, but he's also the author of How to Successfully Apply for the Disability Tax Credit. Okay, we've got a seminar coming up, and tax plays a role in everybody's retirement plan. And we all live on after-tax income, not pre-tax income. So managing the three Ds of tax are very important. Mm-hmm. And we're going to discuss that as part of the overall presentation in our upcoming seminar.
That's right. We're doing our presentation on Tuesday, November 15th, 7 p.m. at the Silver Springs Golf and Country Club and live online here in Calgary. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
All right. Stick around after the break. We look forward to chatting with you then. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.